Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, we forge ahead here on a Wednesday version of Part-Time Pomp and Joe. And I think that Ben said some very interesting things. There's been a lot of talk. We've had the topic ourselves on what the Steelers' record would be with and without Aaron Rodgers. What difference in number of wins would this man make compared to Mason Rudolph? Ben was on his podcast with Spence called Footballin'. We play the clips often, and I often say I did not have Ben doing a podcast in his post-Steeler life. I thought he might disappear a little bit, maybe not to the extent of Jack Lambert, like disappear into the woods of Katanning, but not be front and center, not still be giving his takes before Mike Tomlin every week, like he used to do on his fan show with Ron Cook. Did you listen to that as a wee lad?
All the time.
It was great, wasn't
it? Must listen to. Now, I would obviously be in school for a lot of it. Now, I would listen when I was not in school, when we were on like a break and stuff like that, but I would try to get a recap from whoever was listening, like my dad. What did Ben say today?
What was your opinion of Ron when you were back in elementary school? Was he somebody you looked up to, somebody you wanted to be? Was he a cranky columnist that you would get angry at? Did he even enter your consciousness?
There were other people that entered my consciousness more than Ron.
Yeah?
Yeah, like you and Mulsey and Pony would enter my consciousness.
Yeah.
And also the morning guys, but not as much as...
But what did you think of Ron?
I thought Ron was a good man that I questioned his opinion sometimes, but, you know, I think he did a really nice job.
And you heard him with Ben. I'll tell you this much.
I heard him with Ben, yes. And I think him and Ben had a really good relationship. You could definitely tell.
I mean, I think having heard a lot of these shows, and, you know, we get clips from shows around the country, such athlete shows on a lot of stations, I can't imagine there's ever been a better one. Where a guy was more candid than Ben was.
I mean, he
was not afraid just to shred people. He wasn't afraid... when the Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph to essentially say, what the hell are we doing? I mean, it was must-listen stuff every week, and Ron always told the story when people would say, because we're obviously not the Steelers' flagship, they would say, Ron, how did Ben get to do a show on your station that would come on every Tuesday right before the coach was the first representative over there to talk about the team, really, in any official capacity, during the week? Now, sometimes you'd have guys, you know, come up to a podium on Monday or whatever, but you know what I mean. There were two central figures, and it was Ben and Tomlin wasn't the guy who spoke first. And Ron's answer to that, when people would say, how'd you get him on the station, would simply be, I asked him. Nobody else asked him to do a show.
That's wild.
That's what Ron said. And so here he was. And to bring us full circle here, Limits, I think the podcast is great.
It is.
I think him and Spence are really good. He has great guests, obviously. Speaking of which, I hope Tyler Kennedy comes through next week with Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Should I drop him a text right now?
Yes, you should.
I will, even as we speak.
Maybe Max Talbot.
Yeah, you wanted to register an opinion, didn't you? Go ahead, Limits.
Yeah,
I interrupted you.
I do like the Ben podcast. It's entertaining. They do have really good guests. And, you know, Ben's opinion holds a lot of weight in this city. It matters. It's not like it was when he was still playing and he was still in the room and criticizing Tomlin and just the flair that it came when he was still on the field. But I still, when Ben speaks, I listen.
He's not shy with an opinion. I just texted Tyler Kennedy, can we get Flower on tomorrow? I found my keys. I'm not still at Neville-Wood.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad that you...
That was last Friday.
...not have been there from a week ago.
When Tyler invited me to play golf at Neville-Wood, And it was very prestigious and very enjoyable until he dropped me at my car and I locked my keys in the trunk and the alarm went off and everybody at Neville Wood was looking at me. And by extension, probably wondering about him, who is this idiot that you invited to play? Tyler was gone by then, however. And then the AAA guy couldn't get the car to do what it needed to do. So a locksmith eventually came and off went the alarm again. Limits. God bless you.
Thank you.
Now I said to, he said like Mark, M-A-R-C. What other flower is out there?
I don't know.
Is there another flower?
Do you just want to bring some roses in for the show?
I don't know. I'm getting the little dot, dot, dot here. Can you imagine if we had Fleury?
In studio?
Limits, do you let people know that you read their text or do you turn that function off?
No, I have that off.
I have that off too.
Yeah, I don't want that on.
And I don't want my friends to have it on.
I want my friends to have it on. I'm curious if they read, if I can read their message or if they read my message. Yeah, I'm curious about that. But I don't want them to know if I read theirs.
I don't want my to know if my friends read it and then didn't respond.
Oh, I do, because then I will be angry and upset and wonder why.
Because that's a feeling hurter, and nobody wants those.
But then you follow up if you know that they saw it.
No, see, that's what
answer.
I don't want. I don't want to, why didn't you return the call or the text?
Well, no,
I don't want any of that.
Don't
I don't
say
want
that.
Them to know I did it, and I don't want me to know they did it. No, I don't want anything.
No, you don't say that. You just you follow up with something else, like, hey, something else to the extent of whatever I just texted you.
He said, Tyler Kennedy said, first he said, like Mark, as in Marc-Andre Fleury. And then he said, you know how many people have been texting about the Neville Wood story? It's so awesome. I'll definitely have you back.
Definitely.
Now I've become a celebrity there for all the wrong reasons. Let's have this jackass back here and see what goes wrong next. I'll probably have the whole place in the parking lot waiting to see what I do next.
Maybe they'll give you a standing ovation. They'll be clapping for you. Welcome back, Joe. Know where your keys are this time. We have a specific little ring for you here to keep your keys.
They
a
might.
Nice little box. You might be able to put them in the rock box.
I think we're on to something here, Limits. Can you imagine if we have Fleury on the show tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh. That would be incredible. I have a Fleury jersey that I got years ago that one of my aunts bought for me.
Autographed?
No, but maybe we can get it autographed.
He's in Europe.
Yeah. Well, he's coming back soon at some point.
Oh, yeah. He's in the world championships. What an idiotic request. Now Tyler even thinks I'm stupider than he thought 3 days ago. Mm. Why would I request that we talk to Flower tomorrow when he's in Sweden for the world championships?
Probably next week is better. Or the
Who's your next choice, Limits? I'll say how about
Max Talbot?
Yeah. Anybody else? Kunitz?
What about Bo Bennett? Did he get injured?
He would be a great interview.
He is very comedic about all the injuries that he sustained on social media.
And I appreciate that always about him.
It's funny.
Even his farewell to Pittsburgh, he said, you know, I had a great time. Sorry it didn't work out. And then he sent another tweet right after that said, and no, I didn't injure my fingers typing that tweet. What a guy.
I know he didn't play with him, but I would love to see Phil Kessel come on the show.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know if TK could pull those strings, but
I said, how about Talbot? How about Bo Bennett? He said, let's try next week to get somebody. Who did you just say, Limits?
Phil Kessel.
Could you get Kessel? Should I say that?
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable.
How many guys are still around? Because Amanda Kessel works for the Penguins and she's living here, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder how often Phil visits. Like, would we be able to get Phil Kessel in studio? Could I get my Kessel
jersey? I don't know.
Jersey
just go
signed?
Down to Rivers Casino. He might be there if he's in town, right?
Or he might be on the golf course with a bunch of hot dogs.
Ugh.
Remember that picture? The golf course picture with the Stanley Cup and the hot dogs in the Stanley Cup?
I said, could you get Kessel? He said, never.
Never?
He's the toughest to get.
Wow. Well, so much for that.
I said, should I text him back? Could you at least try?
Yeah.
I mean, Sid's got to have Kessel's number, right?
No, he definitely does.
Just say, Sid, I want to get Kessel on the show.
Could we get Gino?
Oh, boy. Would that be nice, huh?
Or Letang?
Sure.
I think Letang would. Letang has done a lot of local stuff, whether it be...
No, I'm more interested in former players, Limits.
Okay, not current
I mean, I
players?
Love Chris Letang, but I want former players on. Tyler Kennedy's guys. Maybe a little Nick Bonino.
Ooh.
Maybe a little
K-line.
Carl Hagelin. No, that wasn't even Tyler Kennedy.
No, it wasn't.
Tyler Kennedy was Jordan Stahl and Matt Cook.
Yeah, and Craig Adams.
Craig Adams.
Can we get Craig Adams on the show?
Can we get Miroslav Shatan on the show?
Can we get Matt Niskanen on the show?
I'll raise you a Sergei Gonchar.
I'll raise you Brooks Orpik.
I'll raise you. I don't know if I can raise you. Who was the backup goalie for that team?
Thomas Vokoun? Was it Thomas Vokoun? Remember him?
Of course I do.
What a legend Thomas Vokoun was. He had some good games for them.
Who else could we get? We'll figure it out. Anyway, Ben's podcast is unbelievable. And like a lot of us, he's wondering what the difference would be and predicting what the difference would be in wins between Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph, his very close friend.
Here's Ben on footballing.
I was at 7-10 without Aaron.
Without Aaron.
And I have us 11-6.
What?
With Aaron.
That's a big difference, bud.
That's called three letters.
Yeah.
H-O-F. So that.
Wow. Can I hear that again? That was really good.
Yes, you may. How about Ben? Just bringing the house down.
I was at 7-10 without Aaron.
Without Aaron.
And I have us 11-6 with Aaron.
That's a big difference, bud.
That's called three letters.
Yeah.
H-O-F.
Holy ostrich follicles. How about that? Huh?
And you know what? I am with Ben. Not exactly record-wise, but I agree with his premise.
Yeah, I mean, he said three letters, H-O-F. I've got three words, over the hill. I mean, come on. This is not prime Hall of Fame Rodgers, is it?
I have four letters. He can still play. No, he's not Hall of Fame Rodgers
anymore. I have two words for you.
What are they?
Come on, limits. 11-6 compared to 7-10?
Now, I picked them when we did our random generator of games, 10-7. I do believe that they are a 6 or 7 win team with Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
You think they're 11-6 with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't. I think they're 10-7.
10-7,
but
okay.
But I agree with the same level of the gap in terms of total wins with Mason at quarterback compared to Rodgers. I'm in lockstep with Ben on that.
I don't. I think you're going to get a version like we see a lot of star athletes late in their careers. And like we got with Rodgers last year, you'll get a vintage performance now and again. The consistency won't be there. And you'll get just a blow-up performance now and again as well. And it'll all add up to something like 8-9. Might be their first losing season in a long, long time.
It will be their first losing season in a long time if Rodgers is not here.
Does Rudolph catch a stray every time Ben talks? Wasn't there the thing a couple weeks ago where he said, I don't want to insult anybody, but, and it was clearly about Mason? Do you remember what that was? Limits?
I'm trying to recall.
What has happened to you? You've suddenly sunk into a trance. Oh, you're looking something
that's
because
up. I'm looking for it.
I don't know. I'll tell you this much. If Rodgers is the quarterback, that first game in New York is going to be an absolute spectacle.
Don't forget about when Ben took a shot at Malzie.
You know, there was someone I heard, there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard.
We think it was Malzie, not confirmed. We think it might have been
Malzie. That was absolutely Malzie. And I think Justin Fields will outplay him in week 1, and then you're going to change your opinion right quick, aren't you?
Will outplay Rodgers?
Yeah.
I disagree.
You're a big Justin Fields guy.
I am a Justin Fields guy, yeah. I don't know about big, but yeah, I wanted them to retain Fields.
So if you had a choice right now between Fields and Rodgers, who would you take?
I've changed my opinion. I want Rodgers for 1 year.
That's not what you said at the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah, and I'm allowed to change my mind.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Why'd you change it
because
now?
Because I want a quarterback in next year's draft class, and if they would have kept Fields, I feel like maybe they would have given him a little bit more runway, maybe a 1 to 2 year sample, and maybe if not have drafted a quarterback in the first round, where I know they're definitely drafting
one this
year.
You've moved the goalposts. Who's the better quarterback right now, Fields or Rodgers?
I think Rodgers. I didn't think Rodgers was a realistic
option. You said Field.
I didn't think Rodgers was a realistic
option. We said at the beginning of the offseason, who do you want to be their quarterback? The whole world was your oyster. And you picked Fields.
I was only going off of Justin Fields or Russell Wilson at that time, maybe Sam Darnold. I thought Rodgers was either going to stay with the Jets or retire. I didn't think that he was realistic for the Steelers.
I feel sad because we're witnessing a full
You're wrong.
Relapse. An early onset Malzie relapse.
No, you're wrong. Yeah. You have to get off of this, Doctor.
I'm taking you to a meeting right now.
You have no prescriptions for me.
I'm scooping you up.
The pizza's not here. There's
nothing to cure. And taking you to a 12-step meeting here. And you're going to sit down and say, hello, my name is Austin. I have early onset Malzey disease. I just had a relapse.
Wrong. I don't agree with you.
What do we have next?
Lance Jr.
We have another quote from him.
Yeah, we also do have another Ben quote.
Give me the other Ben quote.
Yeah, Ben was discussing when Aaron Rodgers is going to be here and if the NFL schedule makers actually do know the answer.
Packers at Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Sunday nighter. I know that the league came out and said it had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, but we're boring about Mike Tomlin. I disagree with them. I think they're lying. they want Aaron to be in that game, obviously, because there's another, not really a revenge game, but it's Jordan Love versus Steelers. I'm going to take the Packers. I think they're good. Jordan Love is, I think he's a good player. I think they're a team that is on the uptick big time, the Packers. I'm taking a loss for the Steelers without Aaron.
Okay.
With Aaron, I'm going to give them the Steelers their fifth win.
I actually like that a lot. Said that the league is lying. Like I said, never shy of an opinion.
Nope.
I kind of believed it when those quotes first surfaced where the guy from the NFL told CBS Sports, hey, if we knew for sure that Rodgers was in there, that first game would be a primetime game. Don't you agree with that?
I do agree with that, but I think just to cover their behinds, they made sure that the Packer game was in primetime. Yeah, because it's Steelers-Packers, but also that's a prime time to showcase Aaron at home against Green Bay.
I disagree. I don't even know what I disagreed with, but I've had too much coffee and I'm hungry, borderline hangry, and I just want to disagree with everything you say.
The pizza's not here yet.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it?
No.
No.
What time is the Pirate first pitch?
1 hour from now, 12:35.
I disagree. It's 12:36.
No, it's not. It's 12:34.
Joy Jeter and Lance Jeter. What a great story. Both now in the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. We're going to talk to Lance next. What a career he had. Winning the Whitfield and state AA boys basketball titles while he was at Beaver Falls. I think that was 2005, the same year that his mom was inducted, Joy Jeter, into the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. And now, just the other night, Lance gets in. So it's a great mother and son story. Plus Lance, and I don't know too much about this, which is why I'm glad we have him on, had a great career overseas in basketball. Lance Jeter, next on Pomp and Joe. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Limits, is Bob coming back tomorrow?
Yes, Bob will be here.
I disagree.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
All right, Limits, our next guest is a real treat here. And this was born of, for some reason, Jonathan Baldwin came up on the show the other day. I don't even remember why. That led us to the fact that the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame just had its latest induction ceremony only a couple of nights ago. And Baldwin was in this class, the 2025 class, and so were many other recognizable names. This is their 50th anniversary class, I might add, and there's been a lot of great athletes, coaches, and such sports figures from Beaver County. Lance Jeter is another who came up, and not only that, but him and his mom, Joy, became the first mother-son combo in the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. Joy was a basketball player and a very good one at that. So we bring on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline right now, Mr. Lance Jeter. Lance, congratulations. And man, it must be so cool to be in there with your mom.
Very, very, a huge honor. Like I said, my mother was from the
basketball. She was right there, right next to me, along with my uncle. So she was my first basketball coach ever. So for her to be my first basketball coach, to be in the Beaver County Hall of Fame with her, I mean, it's a blessing. It's like a dream.
Tell us what kind of player she was. There was a great photo of her on the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame website. I think she's going up for a layup at the time. She was obviously a baller. Yes, she probably beat you until you were, what, about 13?
I'd say about 12. But she was like a power forward type. Like I said, she won state championship at Beaver Falls in 85. Went on to go to New Haven, Connecticut, D2 school, where she was a three-time All-American. She's special. Like I said, she taught me the game. She had a, before when the WBA first came, tried out for the Washington Mystical. So she's special. Like I said, she taught me, not only me, but she taught our family a lot of things when it comes to the game of basketball. So, like I said, it's a true honor. It's something that I'm truly thankful for, blessed, especially the line of work that I chose, basketball. She's the perfect mother for the job.
That is awesome. What a great story. Limits, can you hear Lance okay? Lance, are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get off the speaker. Let me see.
That'd be perfect if we could do
that. Hear me now?
Yeah, man. That's better. That's great.
Okay.
So she must have been just bursting with pride the other night when you joined her in that Hall of Fame. What was it like for your mom?
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like when I was there for hers and when she got inducted. It's just one of those where you're just super proud of, you know the history. Obviously, I think about me being inducted. I think about all the sacrifices that she done made throughout throughout my career and stuff when I was young, traveling all around the country for AAU and her spending all the life savings money she had just to make sure I could go. And just little things that she done for me, big games when I was in high school, leaving sticky notes on the refrigerator, telling me what I need to do for that game. And just a lot of stuff don't go unnoticed and something I just appreciative throughout my career and my life. And like I said, the best mother I could have in the line of work I was doing.
Well, I bet you one of those sticky notes before the 2005 Whitfield Championship game didn't say, Lance, why don't you hit a shot from half court in triple overtime to beat Aliquippa, did it?
No, it definitely was. Her sticky notes was usually, like I said, she was like a power forward. So most of those sticky notes was rebound, rebound the ball. But, no, this is one of those, like I said, that game, it's just you never know what you're going to get with a team like Aliquippa, obviously. There's our rival, and like I said, not just me, but just all the names across that board during that game was just very special. So it could go either way. Fortunately, it was our turn to win one, and we did.
Well, I just got off the line. We're talking to Lance Jeter, one of the latest inductees into the Beaver County Hall of Fame on their 50th anniversary. Just got off the phone with Mike White of the Post-Gazette, who said that shot was the most famous shot in Whitfield basketball history. So to set the scene, you guys, Beaver Falls, are in triple overtime with Aliquippa, who has Herb Pope and Jonathan Baldwin on their team, and you hit a half-court shot to win it. What do you remember about the shot, about the play? Did you know it was going in? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, those type of shots, you never know what could happen. But a lot of people, they always bring up the shot. I mean, like I tell everybody, like, you take away the shot, I still had 34 points that game. Like, the shot just don't define who I was as a player, but it's definitely a big moment. And just to, like I said, who we was playing, the players that was in the game, definitely makes the shot even more better. But like I said, you never know. We practice those shots during practice every time with Coach Viega, and not just me, but all the players that was on my team. So I think we all was comfortable with taking that shot. I think that night, I was feeling it that night, and it went in.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild.
Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
all the weird.
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you close your eyes from time to time, some people say on moments like that, that everything was so crazy that my memory's a little hazy. Others say I can remember it like it's a video, a clear video playing in my mind. What's it like for you? Can you see yourself releasing the ball and watching its flight?
Yes, I can, for sure. Like I said, I remember every moment, every second of it. Like, I know from the breakdown, even before that shot, I know what was happening and stuff. So those type of memories, they just don't go away for me. Like I said, it's just one of those games where it's the rival of our Clippers. So that game is very important, not just to me, but for our community of Beaver Falls. So I definitely remember a step-by-step of it and the reactions of it after the shot was made. So, I mean, like I said, it's a good feeling, great feeling, especially because it was against our Clipper. And we go down in history for it.
Did you know it was going in when you released it?
It felt good. Like I said, I had a great game. That whole game, I had a great game. So anything I was throwing up was pretty much going in. So I wouldn't doubt it when I threw it up.
You got the ball still, or who has the ball?
Oh, that ball long gone. That was the last thing on my mind after that game. We were so tired, so exhausted. If somebody could have took my uniform, I wouldn't even notice.
Talking to Lance Jeter here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. I'm looking at photos of you from Nebraska where you went and played. And then it looks like you had a great career overseas where I see you were an MVP. Was it where did you play? In the Dutch Basketball League, or where did you really find a home?
Yeah, Dutch, in Holland, Netherlands, definitely. Two-time MVP. Three-time All-Star there, Groningen. Like I said, it was it's a culture shock. Obviously, not being from America, not knowing when you first get there, obviously different language and different atmosphere. Just everything all around just different. So I had to really really learn quickly my surroundings and my way around. So it was tough at first, but it's almost like second home. They treated me very well, my family well there, and I was there for like 4 or 5 years. So it's like home for me out there in Holland.
That's cool. It seems like you were like a hero around there, yes?
Yeah, very successful there. Like I said, multiple championships there, multiple MVPs there. Like I said, it got to the point where I didn't feel like I was away from home because of how good they treated me and my family.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a very special place in my heart.
What do you think about growing up in this area, Lance, most prepared you for the next steps playing big-time basketball at Nebraska and also overseas?
It's just, like, when you come from Beaver County, you hear about all the good names, all the great, the legends, especially where I come from. Obviously, we have our Joe Namath, we have our Dwight Collisons, even after me, my cousin Shelton Jeter, Donovan Jeter, Todd Thomas. I mean, you hear about all the names before you. You just want to succeed and live up to those names and try to do it better than the people before you. And not just where you're from, but other communities, like obviously the Isle of Clippers, the Central Valleys. Just every time you're around this area, there's always a big name going somewhere special, and you just want to live up to those expectations. And I was just one of those people trying to do what I had to do to be the next best thing around here. So you got some pressure, but if you do what you're supposed to do, your community will definitely support you, and I was just the next one.
Lance, you're back in town these days. I think Mike told me you're an assistant coach over at Beaver Falls Basketball, and I mentioned when you first came on, this whole story started with us wondering about Jonathan Baldwin. I guess he was there the other night. Do you know him well? What's he up to these days?
Yeah, Jonathan I know very well. Jonathan lives in Arizona with his wife and his kids. His oldest son's out there, Jaden Baldwin, who's a big-time recruit, wide receiver in Arizona, who got every offer in the country almost. Who looks just like Jonathan, like just as fast as him. So
Jonathan lives out in Arizona right now where he resides, though. And like I said, he's just doing his father thing just like I am, and he's take care of his family, and he's also coaching his son out there. So that's where he's at right now.
That's cool. There were so many great athletes. I mean, just in that game I mentioned, Herb Pope being another one. Who was the single greatest athlete that you played against in high school?
I always say I caught a lot of people when they were young, obviously. Mine, obviously, Darrell Revis. Mm. I had to play against Darrell 2 years. It was probably, as when I'm young, I don't tell him. But as we got older, he's one of my favorite players to play against. Adam DeMichael, Stowe Rocks was also another person that I loved to play against. Like, just brought the best out of me. Jonathan Baldwin was a good one, obviously. But I caught Jonathan when he was young. I caught him when he was real freshman and sophomore. So I didn't get to experience the junior, senior of him.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor was another good one, too. But I caught him when he was young also. So these are a couple of names that just come to mind that grew up to be, like, very special in our in Beaver County for us.
You played football, too?
Yes, sir.
How many offers in football?
A few offers, Kent State, Akron, and Pittsburgh, but I chose Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati, to go to football out of high school.
And then you switched to basketball. I'm reading that right here, right now. Why? Why did you choose basketball?
All that punishment. I was getting tired of it. My body was hurting too much that first year. I couldn't take it no more. Let me go with the safer sport.
That makes sense. And also, whenever I talk to people who used to play multiple sports, you know, these days, Lance, kids play one sport year round. It almost becomes difficult to play two. The coaches get mad because why aren't you playing travel ball? Why are you playing the other sport? So I want people to hear from you, if you believe this, that it's advantageous to play multiple sports, and that coaches in high school and travel ball should be more aware of that. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do very hard. Like, I grew up, obviously, where you play 3 to 4 sports. I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, as you get older and you get ready for college, I think the college coaches, they love a player who's an athlete pretty much. I mean, obviously, I love basketball, but I love football. I love baseball, too. And I feel like it attracts more coaches when you got a dual athlete. I mean, I think it helps you in your resume and stuff. Like I said, we encourage our kids to play multiple sports. Even though I'm a basketball coach, we encourage our kids to play football, play baseball, do track. I mean, anything that's going to help you year-round, obviously, where I come from, we want our kids to be active, stay active, obviously, in school and stuff. But mostly, we don't want them running in the streets. So we want them to, if we encourage them to do multiple sports, that's what we're going to encourage them to do, especially if they're athletes. We want them to do all that.
Lastly, Lance, I think also in the Beaver County Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, and correct me if I'm wrong, Limits, we will find Bob Pompiani and Ron Cook. Either one of those names ring a bell for you?
They sound familiar, but I'm not a name guy. I'm a face guy.
I hear you.
In front of me, I'll definitely know who they are.
Well, I used to work with Ron here. He's a sports writer. And now I work with Bob, and their faces are on a cup at the Brighton Hot Dog Shop, from what I understand. Is that right, Limits?
Yes, it is.
But I certainly don't blame you if immediately Ron Cook's name doesn't come to mind. Do you, Limits?
Maybe the voice will be able to ring a bell.
The voice probably, but...
What'd you say, Lance?
Yeah, probably the voice for sure. Like I said, I don't know the last time I went to the hot dog shop either, so these days... I'm trying to stay away from all that good greasy food.
Yes. Well, they got to get you and your mom on one of those cups. It's a great story.
That'll be a dream come true. Do that. Get my mom and me on the cup, I'll probably go every day.
Thanks a lot, Lance, and congrats to you and your family.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Take care. What a great story. And my God, I've watched some videos and looked at some photos. He must have been a very tough guy to deal with on the basketball court. Wow. And like Mike White said, had the most famous shot in Whitfield history, and Mike White's opinion limits.
I've watched that shot 20 times.
Tell me about it. I have to admit, I don't know that I've seen a video of it. What happens? Where do they take the ball out of bounds, and where does he release from?
Yeah, I'll have to send you the video of it. So they, and I just don't want to make sure I get anything wrong here. I'm going to try to pull up the video just to make sure that I have it correct. But basically, in a completely jam-packed gym, he gets the ball.
The Palumbo Center at Duquesne, I might add.
Yes, he gets the ball immediately. I think he takes like maybe one or takes a couple of dribbles, and then just from half court. And the broadcast was also really good. Drained it, and everybody, not the crowd, but just the entire bench floods onto the court with him. And it was a perfect shot. It really was.
Wow. Well, I'll have to check it out. Also, who could blame him for not being familiar with the work of Bob and Ron, right?
Yeah. Mr. Bob Pompeiani.
I can't wait
worldwide.
To see Bob tomorrow. Can
Me
you?
Too.
I love Bob.
I can't wait so much that I want to see him right now.
And I know you miss Ron desperately, do you?
Not as desperately as I miss Bob.
Yeah, I miss Bob too. All right, Limits. Next up is the, what is next up actually? Is it the Limitless Express or do we have a guest? You tell me.
Dan Zangrilli is next.
Discombobulated
yes,
here.
Yes, Dan Zangrilli is next.
Zangrilli finally had some happy people on his show last night after the game, did he not? I would imagine. No, actually, I would imagine they were probably still angry that the Pirates only scored one run and are now on the verge of perhaps setting a major league record for most games in a row without reaching five runs. You think?
Probably.
How many games do they need to tie the record and who holds it?
One. The California Angels and the Boston Braves.
The Angels of 69 and the Braves of when?
31.
Wow. That is something.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.